I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, this is the beginning of his case for a second term, and he's got to do a lot of things. The coalition that elected Biden in 2020 has been basically crumbling. He's got to shore up his base, which has been weakened. He's also lost independents, and that's the key. Both independents are they're wary of both Trump and Biden. So this is a huge speech for Biden. He's got to show he's up for the job at his age. Obviously, there have been major questions about that, and he's got to talk about the economy and immigration. And I do think he's going to try to bait Republicans on immigration, and it's going to be tough for them to bite their tongue. But without a doubt, the pressure is on the president.
Yeah, the pressure is on the president. And Speaker Mike Johnson of the Republicans has already asked members of his party ease up on the heckling and so forth during the president's speech. Let's not appear to be, he didn't use the terms that childish or even that rude, but that's kind of what it comes down to. Show some decorum, but there'll probably be a few points where Biden just goes over the top and where they just cannot constrain themselves. I mean, if I were to stand in front of your face or address you and a bunch of people at a meeting and I'd say, Joe Biden's the best president we've ever had, I know, my God. Not only would I be heckled, I'd probably be tarred and feathered and ran out of town on a rail, correct? So I would understand. Here we are, just ahead of the president's speech coming up, March 7, 2024. Normally it would be given on a Tuesday, but last Tuesday, of course, was the super election, super Tuesday voting, so he had to move it to the 4th. And, of course, there were those in the House that were saying, look, the president comes at our invitation, members of the House. We control the House. Let's just don't invite him. Well, you can talk about it, but still put him up there and let him try to blah, blah, blah his way out of it and see how he holds up. He's going to get astounding support from all the Democrats. You know that. And we also know there'll be those in the crowd on the other side that'll be calling out for him. We're going to break a lot of it down for you. We have a lot to cover on some of the things we're seeing already in advance of the speech. Here we are, March 7, 2024. You're listening to the second hour of Larry Connors USA. We're here for you every Monday through Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and reminding you when on the air we are streaming video at Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, News Talk STL, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, and YouTube. And if you miss anything, they are put up both as an audio and video podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com or LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. So you won't miss anything. And when you do listen at your appointed time that works for you, please push the button share and send it on to some other folks that might not have heard it. We need everybody on board for this one. It's going to be choppy waters from here through into November and probably afterwards as well. But you were listening then in the beginning to the editor-in-chief for the Hill publication, which covers politics on Capitol Hill. It leans mostly to the left, but what he was talking about there is just this is Biden's speech for his life. This is only the third one he's given to joint houses of Congress. The first one, of course, we had COVID in effect, so they couldn't do it the way they normally would. And the last one he did give ran a little over an hour. That's about normal length. Sometimes they're under. Figure he's going to do an hour if he can, has the fortitude to stand up there and do it. But what will he say? That's the key. And again, back to the view of that, and I said John Cusack. I meant Bill Cusack. He's the editor-in-chief for The Hill. And he says he's going to have to do more than just blah, blah, blah.
I think he's going to need a good night, but he's going to need follow through on that. We just ran a story about how Democrats are hitting the panic button because they're seeing the polls. I mean, Joe Biden is losing in many battleground states, including Michigan, which I think is a must win for the president, a state he won in 2020. So I think he's going to have to follow it up with, you know, a bit of a PR blitz, which we usually see. But this president hasn't been media accessible, and that's going to have to be a challenge for this White House. Obviously, the president does make gaffes like other politicians from time to time, but he's got to be out there. And former President Donald Trump is out there. He's getting a lot of free media. He's dominated this week, had a great week with his Super Tuesday wins. It's going to be interesting to see if Biden addresses the former president, even maybe not directly, but indirectly. Remember that Biden said that he predicted that after he won in 2020, the Trump fever would break. Well, that prediction wasn't true.
No, it wasn't. And when Cusack talks about how tough it's going to be for him in Michigan, which is a battleground, a key state, keep in mind that there were 100,000 uncommitted votes for him in Minnesota. And so he still wins because he had no candidate against him in the primary. He got 600 plus thousand. But with 100,000 voting uncommitted, and since it's going to be Trump against him, will they even bother going to the polls? Which is a good time for me to remind you, please hear me clearly here. Even if you think Trump is going to win by a landslide, I mean, look what he did to Nikki Haley in the primaries. Wiped her out early. But even if you think that's going to happen with Biden, don't sit home and count on someone else to put the votes in that are needed. You need to be there, and you need to be casting your vote. Now, if you don't want to vote for Trump, that's your prerogative. You vote for whoever you want. If you want to write Larry Connors in, that would be a stupid waste of your vote. I would not do that. But if you want to switch and vote for Biden, if that's really what you want, I mean, what you've got around you is better than it was when Trump was in the White House? Really? Is it? I don't think so. In fact, before this hour is out, I want to take you to the city of New York. And as I mentioned in the last hour, Governor Hochul might have given the true State of the Union address earlier today from the governor of New York. You'll hear why in a moment. We have seen that Republican lawmakers will be using Biden's fourth State of the Union to bring awareness to the plight of the angel families, those who have been victimized or lost loved ones to crimes committed by illegal aliens. Obviously, one of the most recent and the most highlighted would be 22-year-old Laken Hope Riley, who was murdered in Athens, Georgia. Athens, Georgia, is a sanctuary city with a Democrat mayor, and they want to make that a sanctuary city. The man who is charged with killing her entered our nation illegally in El Paso back in 2022. They took his name, some information, and then basically gave him probation, parole-type papers. You're free to roam about the country. Don't get in any more trouble. You've already broken our federal law by illegally entering our country, but we're going to let that fly and go by because this administration is turning a blind eye to that part of the law. So then he goes to New York. And he gets arrested again for endangering a child. And the New York City police, rather than hold him, because they're a sanctuary city, rather than hold him for ICE to come pick him up, Immigration Customs Enforcement, they let him go. So he ends up down in Athens, Georgia. And he is the one now charged with killing Laken Hope Riley. I caution you, as much as I want to jump on the train and say he's a guy, I don't know. The police are charging him. They say he is. And if that's true, he should not have been in the country. So that is going to be an issue tonight. But what about the president? What is the president going to do or say? Peter Ducey of Fox News asked that of Karine Jean-Pierre.
Yeah. Will President Biden publicly address Laken Riley's murder, allegedly at the hands of illegal immigrant who was released by law enforcement multiple times on Thursday night. I know he's got a statement, but what about at the state of the union?
Look, let me, I do want, this is such a tragic story and obviously situation. This is someone's life that was lost, so I do want to always acknowledge and extend our deepest condolences to her family and to her friends and the people who loved her. And so want to always be sure to say that, and because it's so tragic. I don't have anything to share about the president's speech as it relates to that particular question that you have.
I can't fault what KJP said. I mean, I think she said it in a very sensitive way, and she doesn't probably know anyway if that's in the speech or not. The speech is probably being worked on even up to the last few minutes, but they better get it right in the teleprompter because Biden's going to be relying on that teleprompter. But reference Laken Riley. Normally, if you have a high-profile case or something like that, the president will invite the family of that victim to sit with his wife or at least in a special section so he can call them out. Well, with the first lady will be a woman who had to leave a state to get an abortion elsewhere. They're going to make a big deal out of that because apparently the baby was not going to be born perfectly. I don't have all the details. I consider every life important, but that's between a real decision between a mother and going forward. I would still disagree with it, but they're going to use that to highlight the abortion issue. And to the extent of Laken Riley's parents, a Georgia congressman, Mike Collins, represents the district that includes Athens, where she was killed, Laken Riley, and he said he did ask her parents if they would like to sit with him during the State of the Union address, and they thanked him, but they deferred, saying, "We're still grieving the loss of our daughter. We don't want to be in the spotlight." Now, that's understandable. So he made the offer to them. He also is the one who authored the act called the Laken Riley Act. It basically would require Immigration and Customs to issue detainers on illegal immigrants charged with any theft or any burglary. He said if you start it that way, then it doesn't move to the next level. The Laken Riley Act. Texas Congressman Chip Roy says, you know, I like the idea of the act, but there are so many other names that could have been on it long before we got to Laken Riley. Texas Congressman Chip Roy.
Current law requires parole to be on a case-by-case basis. Is that what you understand?
That's what the law says.
And yet this administration is using parole to mass release people into the United States, resulting in the death of an American citizen, at least this one, Laken Riley, in Georgia. Is that what you understand?
This is the most recent one, yes.
Could this bill also have been named, for example, after any number of other individuals, particularly, for example, the two-year-old who was killed here in Montgomery County, Maryland, who was also killed by somebody who was released on mass parole from an individual from Venezuela?
It could have.
Or perhaps the individual who was raped in Louisiana, a minor who was raped in Louisiana by somebody who was released, a Honduran?
Yes, sir.
Or perhaps we could go back in time. How about Kayla Hamilton, a 20-year-old with autism in Aberdeen, Maryland, with her boyfriend, a 17-year-old illegal alien from El Salvador who appeared at the border in March 2022, an unaccompanied alien minor, and was released into the country to a sponsor. The suspect lived near Kayla, where he would later rape her and beat her to death in her home in July of 2022, less than 2 years ago, a young woman with autism. Authorities later found out that the assailant was a documented MS-13 gang member from El Salvador who was arrested in 2020 for associating with the gang. Does that seem to be a situation in which our border is secure? Is that somebody that maybe perhaps should not have been released into the United States?
Tragically, that's correct.
Every name he went through could have had an act passed in honor of them, and maybe if it had, maybe we wouldn't have the Laken Riley case, and of course if Biden would shut the border. But Texas Congressman Chip Roy, he's going through some of these cases. He reaches one where you can hear in his voice he's having a tough time getting the words out.
Lizbeth Medina, a 16-year-old high school student who was a part of the cheerleading team, was found dead in her bathtub in Edna, Texas, by her mother. Her mother found her 16-year-old daughter dead in a bathtub in their home. She was supposed to perform in a local Christmas parade with her cheer squad but never showed up where her mother went looking for her. Can you imagine?
No, I can't.
The suspect, Rafael Romero, was charged with Lizbeth's murder, a 23-year-old illegal alien who was overstaying his visa for the past 5 years. Another person in the United States unlawfully, because of this administration's and the previous Democratic administration's failures to enforce the law.
And that is a fact that can't be denied. They've failed to enforce it. The issue coming up, as we all are focused on the general election, is obviously the presidency, the White House. But MSNBC, Lawrence O'Donnell, states what I've told you repeatedly.
Obviously, there is nothing more important this year for the Democrats and democracy itself than winning the presidency. The next best thing, the next most important thing, is the United States Senate. I, for one, don't believe Donald Trump is going to win the presidential election, but if you're one of the millions who is worried that he will, you should find ways to help elect Democrats to the United States Senate. The United States Senate should be campaign objective number two, because if Democrats control the United States Senate, they can stop every single thing that Donald Trump tries to do legislatively.
I've driven that point home numerous times, and there I'm allowing a liberal to make the same point for you. We need to win the White House. We need to control the House of Congress, which we have currently, and gain more control so we don't have a slim majority. And we need to get control of the Senate. And here are the numbers. There are 33 U.S. Senate seats up for election. 10 of those seats are held by Republicans. They need to hold. 20 are held by Democrats. They need to be flipped. 3 held by independents who caucus with the Democrats. They need to be flipped. And everything that we've had going on in our nation over the time Joe Biden has been in office should be every reason why those senators that are up for re-election should be make sure that you're choosing someone who has the ability to control what happens going forward. Because if the wrong ones get in, well, here's a warning for Lawrence O'Donnell.
They can stop every single thing, every presidential appointment Donald Trump makes that requires Senate confirmation, every one of them. So, no, with Democrats in control of the Senate, Donald Trump will not have an attorney general in charge of helping Donald Trump get away with crimes and commit more crimes. With Democrats in control of the Senate, Donald Trump will not have a Secretary of Defense who is willing to violate the law controlling the use of American troops within the United States. With Democrats in control of the Senate, Donald Trump will not be able to confirm a single federal judge who would take away your rights. Not one. The Senate is more important than the House because it controls the confirmation process. And so tonight, with every other news broadcast focused almost entirely on the two names that will be on the top of the presidential ballot in November, this program will focus on the second most important names you will see on your ballot. Candidates for United States Senate.
And I'll be looking at that as well tomorrow for you. It's that critical. Coming up, a very mysterious case of a woman who dies in her car in a pond in a remote part of Texas, on a private ranch, actually. And she turns out to be sister-in-law to Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell. There's a mystery. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield has a special deal you don't want to miss. A bottle of Angel's Envy engraved with your name, or maybe get several with your company name. That would be a unique gift for clients. So get one or several. Check the Lit Facebook for details, or just visit Lit in Chesterfield. But don't wait and miss this opportunity. In fact, I'll see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit STL. Facebook.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest we've had on before several times, retired Colonel John Mills with the Center for Security Policy, had served previously also as Director of Cybersecurity Policy at the DOD, has a book out, the latest book, War Against the Deep State. First of all, Colonel Mills, glad to have you back on board.
Oh, thank you, Larry, and always an honor to be on your show.
Well, I tell you what, I took high interest in a piece you wrote that raises a little bit different question than what we normally proceed with for you. Let me set it up for the audience. We had a woman in a car drive into a pond last month, found dead shortly after midnight. She was in the car by herself. There was a report that the car had gone into the pond in this private ranch in Texas, about 40 miles from Austin. They worked feverishly for 40-plus minutes trying to get to the woman, get her out of the car, try to get her out. They still can't revive her. And she ends up being Angela Chow, who is CEO of the global shipping company found by her father, who had close ties to the Chinese bank and other Chinese communist officials, no doubt. And her sister is married to Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. The stage is set. The question now is, they're changing from saying it was an accident to it might be much more than an accident. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Larry, this is, I don't even know where to begin. I did an article in Gateway Pundit about this. I tried to keep it as just factual as possible. But there are so many branches and sequels, and I think it's very concerning. Did we have an intentional assassination on U.S. territory? Was China involved? So Angela Chow is the CEO of Foremost Group. Now, it's a privately held thing, so we don't really know exactly what Foremost Group did. It was largely created by her father, Dr. James Chow, starting in 1964. He came from China. He was at sea during the fall of the nationalists who had to flee to Taiwan. He came to America. Became an American citizen, and but is in 1964, kind of like he returned to Taiwan to help start to start the Foremost Shipping Company, which is the largest U.S. owned bulk carrier. They don't do containers, but they'll carry iron ore, wheat, things like that.
It's a major conglomerate.
It is a major, it's privately held, so we don't know for sure what it is. But okay, so he's grown, God bless him, he's kind of a legend in the maritime field and did a great thing. But the question is, so Angela Chow became the CEO, his daughter became the CEO, she's the sister of Elaine Chow, wife of Senator McConnell. She was also, was very bizarre, for a period of time, she was also on the board of the Bank of China, which started out as a nationalist bank that really became the Chinese Communist Bank after the fall of the mainland. So she was on that for a number of years, not totally clear when she started and when she left, but she was also on the board of the Chinese Shipbuilding Corporation. Both of those entities are listed as essentially blacklisted by the U.S. government as essentially Chinese influence companies. Angela is also married to James Brayer, a venture capitalist. His company is bizarre. I looked it up. I found a Department of Defense memo. He's actually blacklisted by the Department of Defense as being his personal investment group. He's an American national.
And he's blacklisted? You say he's blacklisted?
His company, his investment company is blacklisted. But this is where it gets very even weirder. It's in the article. On January 18th at Davos, he gave a talk to Forbes. And I tell you what, I urge everybody to watch this interview. It was full of coded messages.
Such making as? It simple.
Well, I think he was trying to do everything but criticize China. I think bottom line, but he also said, I've already put an 18-month pause on investing in China, because the interviewer from Forbes says, is China uninvestable? And as anybody with any brains knows at this point in time, China is uninvestable.
Right.
And anybody who's put big money over the years in China is trying to figure out, well, how do I get it out without taking a bath on this or just having it seized?
And before they nationalize it, yeah.
Oh, and also, by the way, also, I also cited in my story, this is a growing story, the number of American nationals being held against their will that are related to businesses that are working in China, and they say, hey, I'm just going to go home for a few months, or hey, I'm just going to, I just got to go to a business meeting, and they stop at the airport and said, no, you're not leaving China.
Well, there's several avenues, obviously, to this. It's a tangled web we weave, obviously, here. But the initial reports claim that she was driving a Tesla. Now, there have been reports with control issues on some of the Teslas, especially if the driver is not keeping the hands on the wheel. And originally, they were looking at this was just an accident. Drove into this lake on this private farm, a private ranch. I haven't heard the name of the rancher who owns the property yet, but why it's out in the middle of 40 miles out of Austin. What's the background story?
Yeah, it's 40 miles to the west of Austin in Blanco County. I think it's Dan Johnson is the sheriff.
Yeah.
And, only 12,000 population. This is a tiny county, but under Texas law, now he's declared it a criminal investigation. So when he's talked to the AG Paxton out there, they're decreeing this as a criminal investigation. Now with the Tesla, I did find some reports that said it was a Tesla. Now, as far as the ranch, all we know is it was owned by an entity. And if people start to build up some wealth, they start to build LLCs and sure, which are lawful and legal and all these things. So the property was appeared to be owned by a related part of, by an entity created by James Brayer, Angela's husband.
In fact, it's Johnson City, Texas, folks. Part of that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. But we don't have, I don't think the name has been released yet on the, and again, once it becomes a criminal investigation in Texas, essentially, boom, that's it. You can't, the sheriff and the investigators can't release any details. And So we hope they can finish their investigation before the FBI comes in and messes everything
but
up.
In the beginning, the sheriff said that they were suspecting just an accident. But then they found something that now they say they notified the Attorney General of Texas, Paxton, we have sufficient evidence to rule that it could be criminal. It could be a murder.
Yeah. And the Tesla thing is very interesting. You know, years ago, you know, we looked at remote access and remote operation, you know, hacking into a vehicle. Well, back then when we were looking at it, I mean, there wasn't really a whole lot to hack into. I mean, and you might be able to, through, you know, like satellite radio, you might be able to come in, but then do what? Because you weren't necessarily connected to any, there was no actuators in the car where you could move the steering wheel, where you could press the accelerator or the brake. All you could do was essentially turn the lights on and off or turn the AC on and off. Okay. And I, you know, said, well, okay. Well, okay.
Well, Colonel, have you seen the movie Leave the World Behind? In that, Tesla cars are all converging at one central point as if they're being directed by some hacker. That's a fiction piece, but you can't rule out that if it's got any kind of control that it might be controlled. But we don't know that happened. We don't know that happened. I'm just raising that issue. Yeah.
But there's forensics here, that, and I'm not in any way saying that Tesla was part of it. However, Tesla does have a large presence inside of China for both production of the vehicle parts for battery, like some of the rare earth metals for the batteries.
Right.
Also, you got to look at Tesla as an endpoint on a worldwide network, and there is a lot of server and cyber data storage controlled out of China. So, you know, and now the car, I don't know if anybody who's been inside of a Tesla, but you have a vast, deep cyber connection of the car. You can't even operate the car without being connected to the network, you know, and now they're actually connected to the actuators because there's, you know, a self-driving mode, a semi-self-driving mode, where you could actually, there's actuators, little control capabilities where you could actually turn the steering wheel.
Let me run through a couple quick questions real in our final minute and a half here. We're talking to Colonel John Mills, retired. First of all, is there an autopsy report that had been published when it was supposedly an accidental death?
To the best of my knowledge, nothing like that has been reviewed.
Okay. Yet. And has it been confirmed that she was in Tesla? Because there's been some question about that, if it were, or some other.
I cited articles that said she was in a Tesla. So, articles.
Yeah. And the next point I want to get to, and you raised it in an article you wrote, is the FBI involved or going to be? And if they're going to be, is that good or bad?
Well, there is a ton of forensic because if it is in fact a Tesla, that means there is incredible network forensics that can tell a huge story on what happened here. And again, I'm not in any way implying that Elon Musk or Tesla was a malign actor in this in any way, shape, or form. I'm not saying
that. Right.
But when something like this happens, you've got to essentially put a freeze on everything. You got to serve a warrant to Tesla, and Tesla has to essentially surrender all the artifacts of the network activity related to that endpoint, which was Angela Child's car. And then you could start looking through, well, you know, and then if somebody was maliciously, you know, was it an insider inside of Tesla? Was it somebody who broke into Tesla? Did it have anything to do with it at all? You know, but that's right. When you could start to see the forensics. But it sure sounds odd.
So, that's a good way, odd. And keep in mind, it may not even be such a Tesla or an EV of any type. But Colonel Mills, I want to thank you. And you point out there are domestic, political, China, world economy, cybersecurity, all points to this story. We will continue to watch it with you. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Larry. Honored to be on your show.
Fascinating story. Thank you very much. Coming up, the governor of New York actually gave a State of the Union address today.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself. Mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
He'll likely tout his anti-energy agenda and out-of-control government spending that has resulted in crippling inflation not seen in decades since I was a senior in high school. He will also attempt to blame congressional Republicans for his own failure to secure our borders, which, as most Americans know, is a crisis caused by this president. In a rare recent visit to the border in Brownsville, Texas, President Biden expressed a dire need for Republicans to, quote, show a little spine and pass legislation. Some of the folks living in that border town saw straight through the visit. One resident put it best. By a stroke of the pen, he said, you could stop this. You don't need Congress. Others called the visit too little, too late. I couldn't agree more. This isn't just an important issue for the folks living along the border. In fact, this issue is the number one issue facing the country. It's an issue in my home state, where 50 Tennessee National Guard soldiers volunteered recently to deploy to the southern border to help Border Patrol officials combat drug, crime, and human trafficking.
Those are the words of Tennessee Congressman Rose. And he's exactly right as to when Biden went down to the border, everybody's saying you're too little, too late, as usual. And he will try to bring that up, but he's going to make sure that tonight in the State of the Union address, you understand, not my fault, not my fault. It's the Republicans that created this mess. You have to be an absolute moron to understand just one simple fact. How many illegals we have in the country now compared to when Trump was in office, and how many have come across and continue streaming across, and even into the blue sanctuary cities and states where they're saying, enough, enough. Governor Hochul said the other day, we need a pause. You need a pause? How about all the border cities that were bearing the brunt of it until finally they began moving some of them to the north? And then suddenly the D.C., Chicago, New York City, they all began to realize, well, this is not exactly what we wanted. And then they're scrambling to find places for people to stay and even asking residents, will you help house some illegals? Really? Now, this House, or rather the speech tonight the president will be delivering, comes as we have a government funding deadline coming up at the end of the week. They did vote in the House yesterday to pass a package of 6 government funding bills, trying to get them through both chambers before end of the week shutdown deadline. Now the Senate has to take it up, and the deadlines are Friday and then again March 22nd. It'll be done in stages if there's a shutdown. One of the things we know Biden will probably be addressing is he will talk about Gaza and talk about the humanitarian aid and how he's going to help open up a shipping port with U.S. forces, I guess, involved. It's not clear here exactly what the final plan will be, but when I look at what he's done so far, I'm looking at that he's going to basically maybe put U.S. troops in direct harm's way. We'll have to find out. Now, also in the midst of this, and I've got a lot of information flooding and hitting me right now, trying to stay on top of it in advance of his speech still to come. He may decide the issue and say we're going to limit arms to Israel if it attacks Hamas in Rafah. That's the last stronghold in Gaza. Well, Israel's not going to stop until they wipe out Hamas, and if that means going into there, they're going to do it. And everything is also playing against the backdrop of March 10 is the beginning of Ramadan. And you think even the Hamas group would like to have all the fighting cease at that point, but until they are going to turn all of the hostages loose, which they still hold maybe 100 plus that are known or suspected to be alive, hopefully, they're going to continue to do whatever the hell they want and put more trouble on Israel and those in this nation crying out on behalf of them. So we'll see how much the president's going to address that and the border issue. And again, when it comes to the border issue, as we were discussing earlier in this hour, I doubt the words Lake and Hope Riley will pass his lips. But if he talks at all about those who have been harmed by illegals in the country, it'll be a passing reference. Which brings me to New York State Governor Kathy Hochul today. She began her day with what I say is the true State of the Union address. Just listen.
Rattling off statistics, saying things are getting better, doesn't make you feel better. Especially when you've just heard about someone being slashed in the throat or thrown onto a subway's tracks. There's a psychological impact. People worry they could be next. Anxiety takes hold. And riding the subway, which should just simply be part of your everyday life, is filled with stress and trepidation. And if you make a living as a transit worker, that is compounded exponentially, that level of stress. So I say this will not stand, not on my watch. So today, in the wake of these latest attacks, I'm unveiling a 5-point plan to rid our subways of people who commit crimes and protect all New Yorkers, whether you're a commuter or a transit worker. Point one, I'm redeploying nearly 1,000 members of the New York State Police, MTA Police, and MTA National Guard to conduct bank checks in the city's busiest transit stations.
That's your State of the Union situation. And as she pointed out, just saying things are better is not making things better for people, and they know it. What Kathy Hochul said today, and then deciding she's going to deploy state troopers and National Guard forces to the subway system. That tells you how bad it's gotten. And yet, we're going to hear from Joe Biden tonight. Everything's good. And if there's any issue, it's all due to the Republicans and how they've handled or not handled the immigration issue. And, of course, he's going to try to put it all on the big package of the whole immigration reform. This is like you're going to build a house with all these plans laid out, but first you've got to actually get some pieces to go in the house. But we don't worry about that. This is what it's going to look like. Just believe me. But I'm not going to do anything to get you any lumber, nails, or anything else. And so I'm going to blame you for not building it because I gave you the plans. But you gave us nothing to build it with. And in fact, you brought people in to burn it as soon as we build it. Now, Governor Hochul, if she can be that direct and that candid with New Yorkers, well, of course, Biden can't do that. It would fry him on the spot. But once again, back to Governor Hochul about how they're going to try to enforce violators.
I'm proposing that we amend New York state laws in this session, in a matter of weeks, to allow courts to ban anyone from riding the subway or taking a bus who's convicted of a violent crime against another passenger. Now, there's already a similar law in the books intended to protect personnel from the MTA. But that law has many loopholes that we've identified, and indeed, it's only been used three times since it was first enacted in 2020. We're going to get to the bottom of that, find out what's missing, what language is required. So basically, if you assault someone on the subways, you won't be on the subways. And a judge will now have the power to make sure that for at least 3 years, they'll have the ability to keep you off the subways.
I would think the judge has that power already by simply putting you in jail. But what's that say about bystanders or someone who tries to come to the aid of someone? Specifically, you remember U.S. Marine Daniel Perry, who put a man in a six-minute chokehold that continued as the homeless guy was apparently trying to threaten other people. He didn't mean to choke him to death, but he's trying to restrain him. The only way to do it is try to choke him so he quit breathing long enough so they could get him down. And other passengers were thankful, but no. The city of New York turns around and charges him with a crime. Is that going to be part of your plan, Governor Hochul? Well, what I do hear from her, we got all kinds of things we're going to do, even putting cameras into the rail cars.
To recap our five-point plan, bag checks will be conducted by over 1,000 members of the New York State Police, MTA Police, National Guard, in addition to what the city is doing. We're coordinating with the city of New York, so people will see this. A bill to allow judges to ban people from using the subway, people who attack others and are convicted of a violent crime. Improve coordination between police and DAs to keep violent criminals off the subways. Cameras on and in the conductor cabins, and expanding our mental health outreach teams. Here's the message today. Anyone looking to do harm or spread fear on our subways, you will be caught. Plain and simple. There will be consequences. This has to end. New Yorkers deserve no less. And to those who are feeling anxious whenever they walk through those turnstiles, we will stop at nothing to keep you safe, you and your family members, and restore your peace of mind.
And that goes for all those who go to New York and decide to ride the subways. But she's being more forceful in enforcing the law and protecting subway riders than Joe Biden is in protecting our nation from illegals and the crime that they are committing. You talk about a disconnect. So the stage is now set. Trump against Biden. Or somebody else at the last minute in the Chicago convention, maybe someone else will be brought in on a white horse and say, here's our savior. Either way, the editor-in-chief of the Hill publication basically says you need to get ready for a cage fight.
The this is going to be a very nasty race, and we'll see if there's even a debate. Trump says he wants to debate Biden. Obviously, Trump didn't participate in any of the primary debates, and that was probably a good decision because he ended up winning big. So I do think that they're going to be trying to get in their heads over the next 8 months or so, and that's going to be – that could be tiresome for the American people. We shall see, but this is going to be, without a doubt, a very nasty mudslinging type of race.
It will be nasty mudslinging, and I'll give you a source that says there's already a line that Joe is going to have a hard time crossing, just simply walking over, much less climbing over. The source is stating this is a huge issue for him to overcome, and we know it's going to be a huge issue that's going to be pushed constantly by the other side. Anchor Joe Scarborough asking the person making that statement, well, how do you address the issue? And the response is, well, how much he gets out has to be made by him. How much has to be made by people that interact with him every day, understand the risk and the benefits. But you got to do this with him. But they're much more attuned to what he's capable of doing or not doing. The speaker is former Democrat strategist James Carville, talking to Joe Scarborough about Joe Biden's age, saying you can't get past the age issue. It's still there. Even if he were successful at everything he had done, Carville says the age is something you just can't ignore. Now, granted, Trump is not as spry as he was either 4 years ago, but we've seen the demise of Joe Biden right in front of our eyes. So that will be part of the speech tonight. If it runs an hour plus, we'll see how he holds up. And the prompter better be right every step of the way. If there's any kind of glitch in that prompter, state of the comedy will be what we'll call it going forward. In the meantime, as I had mentioned in the previous hour, the forces are lining up against Trump already. I told you that the New York Times has said it will be a tragedy if Trump is elected, and they're sticking by that. And then you get Rachel Maddow and people like her saying that the only way to save America is to not get Trump back into office. Mitch McConnell, by the way, finally did endorse Donald Trump, the same man that he said was embarrassing because of the January 6th. Mitch McConnell's now on board to say, I'm with Trump. But intel agencies, and this is a piece from Politico, they're stating it's standard practice to share classified information with presidential nominees, but the decision to brief Trump if he becomes a GOP nominee is loaded with political and potentially legal risk. This is according to the writer for the Politico. And they point out a pending court case against Trump and his tense history with U.S. spy agencies complicates the decision, makes it more controversial. U.S. intel planning to brief Donald Trump on national security, despite all this? Well, it would be keeping with the tradition that dates back to 1952, but the Biden administration intends to share intel with the former president, regardless of the outcome of his trial in Florida, according to one senior intel official. Others are not so sure they should. This is the game they're going to play if Trump's elected. And let me remind you of something. If someone calls you a MAGA, you can take pride in, I am for Make America Great Again. It is not just owned by Donald Trump. It's not a franchise. It's not copyrighted by him. It is Make America Great Again. And where we stand right now, we need to change a lot of things. And that begins by a border wall, which Joe Biden will walk around and ignore tonight, except to blame the Republicans. So the presidential State of the Union address coming up. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.